You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Let's get back to Barely Legal. Once again, here's Robin Earle and David Spada.
Fun stuff there with former baseball major leaguer Vance Law. Hey, David, let's talk, while we're waiting. Hopefully we'll get Coach Party on the phone here. But, the Bears, the last three games. What's going on?
It's just the preseason. Lovey says the record is 0-0. It doesn't matter what happens in the preseason. It's all about winning the regular season. I think he's full you-know-what. I think this team is a train wreck here. And again, the preseason gets you ready for the regular season. And this team, the line is leaking like a sieve. They don't know what's going on defense. They're getting beat apart. But I think our next guest could tell you a little about coaching the NFL.
Yeah, I think so. Let's bring on one of my favorite guys, Coach. I haven't talked to you since we left the field when we're both in USFL. I was with the Birmingham Stallions, and you were with the Houston Gamblers. Coach, always a pleasure. Jack Party, how are you, man?
Well, doing good. This time of year is always exciting. All the football starting to have a lot of friends in the game. I try to keep up with it.
There you go. Down in Texas, Coach, what are you living in what part?
Well, kind of the east side of Central Texas, between where Texas A&M is a college station and Baylor's at Waco. We're about halfway in between them, so this is there's a lot of whatever that conference is called now. They've all changed names. I don't even know what it's called.
What's going on? Hey, my partner David Spada here was pulling some information. It says you're a rancher now. Is that the term that we should use now? Coach Party is now a rancher.
Well, I raise grass
out on the prairie. Huh?
I had a bunch of old cows I try to keep in there. They always want to go over the neighbors.
Is there a lot of cattle rustling going on down there in Texas still?
Well, not that, but it's hard to. They're a lot like a lot of those football players. Wherever they are, they want to be on the other side of the fence.
It's always greener on the other side, right, Coach?
Oh, yeah.
I see you coach with the Bears from 75 to 77. I was like 5'6". I don't remember those teams. I started watching them in 79. But, I mean, when you start a coach and you walk in and your first-round pick that year is Walter Payton, it would be a dream come true for you.
Well, took the job. We went to all the All-Star games. Of course, he came out of, a little bit of college. I didn't have a, back in those days, the integration had started, but there was still a lot of the small black schools that had good football, but it was a little bit hard to evaluate them because, mm-hmm. you didn't know what you were getting. But seeing him at the Senior Bowl, I mean, it took about 2 minutes to decide to, and we were going to have, I think it's the third choice, that we were up third.
Yeah, I think it was fourth.
We were hoping. I had my fingers crossed the whole time that
he'd fall in your lap.
That he would still be there when we drafted third, and there's a couple quarterbacks went before he did, but that's
right.
It.
Right. Yeah, that's, of course, the legendary and what we did from there and so forth. But, you take a look at your coaching career. I mean, talk about a Mitch Pop chair. You start out with the World League and then you go to the Bears and then you go to the Houston Gamblers, the USFL. Then you go back to the NCAA. Then you go back to the NFL, then to the CFL. Then you return back to coaching.
Well,
man, alive.
What I tell people, and I played 15 years pro ball besides that. So,
right.
Hey, I never had to grow up. I've just played my whole life. I never had to get a real job.
I love it, Coach. One of those made for TV movies with Bear Bryant and, the Junction Boys, as they called you back in 1954 when you guys tell us a little bit about, that movie was just awesome in my eyes because, being a football player and seeing what you guys had to do, but they told me, and just rumor had it, that you were the toughest son of a gun, tougher than four rattlesnakes.
Well, we were, that camp was out Junction, Texas, the reason they called it the Junction Boys.
Yep.
And that's about all was out there, some rocks and rattlesnakes. So, you know, Coach Bryant took, he'd just come to A&M from University of Kentucky. And, you know, A&M had not won any games to speak of in a bunch of years. And he wanted to, you know, back in those days, there was no limit to the number of players you could sign or have on your team.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, there was about 110 of us. Went out there, and he wanted to find out who could, who was going to be tough enough to take the heat and whatever, and not mm-hmm. quit, not mm-hmm. Not give in to it. And 10 days later, we just had 33 of us left.
Wow!
And that was the worst team Coach Bryant ever had. that year, we were. I think we won one game out of 10, so we lost 9 games, and that, you know, Coach Brown, that never happened to him before. But the big thing about that, and what made the Junction Boys, a little bit unique, in a 3-year time, a team that couldn't beat anybody, we were undefeated 3 years later. So, that's the turnaround. When you take a coaching job, you're probably not getting one that's a great job, or they wouldn't be hiring a new coach.
True.
And, taking a job and having been able to make a winning team out of it. And that's, of course, what Coach Bryant did, and not only a winning team, but a good team. Of course, he did the same thing. He didn't go many places, just really Kentucky, A&M, and then Alabama. That's where he's from, and that's where he finished up.
Yeah. You know, that's incredible. You start with over 100 college kids. You know, these kids are 18, 19, 20 years old. And of course, Bear Bryant, in his early stages, he had to be a tough hombre, of course. Wow. That had to be an experience, something you'll never forget. But, you know, Coach, I'm going to take you back here a little bit, back to the 1977 season. And a lot of people said your best coaching move that you ever made. You know what that was? I'm going to test your memory here now a little bit.
Well, I have to figure out where it was in 70.
Anyway, let me just fill you in here. 1977, we're last game of the year. We had to win the game against the Giants in the snow. We had about 5 inches of snow on the ground.
Okay.
Peyton wasn't moving worth a damn. So I'm on the sidelines. I kept getting closer and closer to you, and I go, "You see that other 39 over there, Larry Zonka? It's time number 39 got in the game." So you gave me a shot, Coach. You gave me a shot to get back in the game, and I have a picture of me sliding across the end line on that touchdown. Then unfortunately, our kicker Bob Thomas missed the extra point, and then we had to go in overtime. But that was probably a game. Yeah.
Starting out that game, do you remember? It was sunny, and there was. The field was completely clear, and there was, by the fourth quarter or overtime, there was 10 inches of snow.
I know.
The field.
Yeah, because, well, actually, the snow started coming down halfway through the first quarter, and then remember in the locker room, we all go inside, and I don't know what Hallis and the McCaskies did, but they went out and got all of the shoes at some sporting goods store so we all could put cleats on.
I know. They did. They made a quick run, and I don't know how they got that done. And truthfully, I don't know what. When you're in snow like that, I don't know what different shoes, whether it makes any difference or not. But remember that we couldn't see the hash marks.
Couldn't see nothing, right.
The sideline markers. I mean, it was I was in the game a long time, but that was the only one ever like that.
Well, all I remember is the time is ticking down. We're down to, inside of a minute overtime. And, of course, if it would have ended, it would have been a tie and we wouldn't have made the playoffs. But I'll never forget when he broke the huddle for that field goal. And then Bob Parsons turned to Bob Thomas. He says, "Hey, you missed this, we're going to break your frickin' neck." He didn't say the frickin' part. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Don't
miss signals.
Boy, that was something else, too. You know, that we got pretty excited about it. Remember when we got back to the airport there at O'Hare? There's about 10,000 people waiting for us.
It's been, 40,000 people? We couldn't even, the airport traffic, the cars getting to and from the airport. It was what an amazing deal.
Yeah, we were late.
That was a big thing. Chicago hadn't won in, so long, and it's such a great sports town.
Right.
And, Bear Town.
You bet.
But, it was amazing the way they took to the Chicago Bears and finally winning a few games.
Coach,
yeah, that was great.
Was it your decision to put Robin at fullback to block for Peyton when he ran for those 275 yards that game?
Well, I was a fullback anyway, though, Dave. I was drafted as a fullback and then got changed to tight end. But I was kind of fortunate. There was a couple of injuries. Roland had a knee, and I was able to step in and play.
Well, that was a great part about that team. To me, it was being so unselfish. Everybody doing what they could, filling in. Of course, with Walter Payton, he was going to get the ball most. Nearly every down anyway, and just trying to figure out how would get to him a little bit different, but mm-hmm. The offensive line, that group put together, it was a kind of amazing group who were part USFLers or W,
yep.
Whatever they were.
Yeah, WF,
Canadian,
yeah.
Leaguers and one or two real low draft choices.
They
might not have been real good pass blockers, but they could block for y'all. For the running game, they were good.
Yeah, you take Reavie Sorey and Noah Jackson and Dan Neal, and of course Ted Albrecht was a first round draft choice, 77.
He was he was a high draft choice in that whole
thing. Right, and on the left side was Dennis Lick.
Yeah.
What did Dan Jiggets do?
that's kind of a running joke in Chicago, Coach.
Coach, so you left after the 77 season. Sid Gilman was there for 1 year and left. Was there a reason both you guys left?
Looking back is definitely a mistake on my part. In Chicago, it was, we had such a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And, they weren't, really none of the guys were making any money. I was afraid we were going to lose them all, to tell you the truth. And, the Washington Redskins, George Allen left there. And of course, I'd been to Redskins and, keeping players or spending money wasn't a problem with them. So, that was the reason I made that decision to go there. But they didn't have any draft choices or anything either, so it was certainly one of my career moves that I probably shouldn't have made.
Did Halas try to keep you and say, here's more money, or he just said go?
No. Jim Finks really was running everything at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And, Jim, he wasn't going to spend much.
Of course not. Oh, my goodness.
His son runs the Bears youth camps now and doesn't spend much.
Yeah. I direct 4 weeks of his camps, Coach, so I'm a bear witness to that one. Oh, my goodness.
Coach, you had some great quarterbacks. You had Joe Theismann. You had Warren Moon. You had, in the USFL, you had Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly.
And with the Bears, you had Bob Avellini.
Well, and then later on, the University of Houston, I had Andre Ware won the Heisman Trophy.
That's right. That's right.
And David Klingler, who was also a first-round draft choice. So, hey, I've had some good quarterbacks.
Boy, you sure have.
And Avellini. He did what we wanted him to, and he had the discipline to do it right. And there again, a lot of quarterbacks, they're not really content handing the ball off 60 times a game.
Well, Bob, of course, stayed in the area, and I'm played a lot of golf with Bob, but we always give him the ribbon, His nickname is Slow Mo Bob. We all knew that. But we had the shortest, we had the smallest playbook, in the NFL, Coach. Walter left, Walter right, Walter up the middle. That was about it.
And, but, you know, along with that, then a play action pass off the same action.
Right.
And
there you go.
Seeing these numbers, you know, with completions and touchdowns per catch, I mean, they were some of the highest ever in the NFL.
Yeah, they were pretty high on the ratio. Yeah.
But there again, you know, we just didn't do it much.
Yeah.
Coach, how good was Sid Gilman as a coach? Rabin said that Sid Gilman told him, don't ever let the Bears move you from fullback to tight end, and a year later, 2 years later, they moved him. Was that guy that smart of a football mind?
Yes. The reason I hired Sid was he'd been my coach with Rams my rookie year.
Okay.
And actually, my first two or three years, he was out there before he left there. I actually got fired there, and the Rams in those days were really struggling, and they changed coaches every year. But I was I was around Sid long enough to know that he was as far as the meetings of explaining a play and getting the right blocking scheme and knowing how to handle every blocking scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Sid was by far the best offensive coach I was ever around. I mean, we were. His terminology, a lot of people said, was too complicated. But, it was maybe a little complicated. But, at that point, we just, and he wasn't real happy with me either than Chicago, because he wanted to do a little more than run the ball.
Right, yeah.
But I knew what it was going to take to win, so we ran the ball.
Mm-hmm. And played tough defense. You know, I love Sid. You know, as a rookie, my first offensive coordinator, you know, I study the game. I love it. I've got kids that play, Jack. I got one in college, and I've got a son who's a senior in high school right now. He's a D1 prospect. So,
good.
You know, it's just so, you know, as a father, so much fun to, you know, I tape the films, and, you know, I get to the first parent there on Friday night, and I get my 50-yard line seat so I can film well. But I like taking the film back, and then my son and I will sit down for a couple hours. We'll review the film and study it and get ready for next week. But that's the way Sid was, you know.
Well, you were in those meetings with Sid. I mean, that's, they're one, I've never been around enough coach, and you talk about having every play broken down.
It's unbelievable.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, your exact stance, your first step, your punch, your head location. I mean, it all better be right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Sid was a technician, man. You know, and you know, it's all about technique, you know, and every position played out there is about technique. And boy, have I, you know, my last two sons, our quarterbacks, now I can't coach the quarterback position because I didn't play it and I don't have, you know, I just don't. So I turn it over to the experts and give them a private, coaching that, you know, former, NFL quarterbacks that played in the league, they take my kids and they work with them. And boy, what a huge difference that makes, you know,
yeah.
but it's all about the technique, about technique.
Is. If you don't have that right to begin with, it doesn't matter how much talent or anything else going, if your foundation isn't there, it's not going to be a good house.
That's right.
Coach, you had some great offensive coordinators besides Gilman. You had Mouse Davis with the run and shoot. Here in Chicago, we brought Mike Martz in, who is the offensive genius, and he's trying to get these players to learn his system. What do you think of that? Do you think he could do it in 1 year, or you think it's too complicated?
Oh, a coach can do it. Can you get the players in 1 year? That's the problem. To change I think the biggest overrated thing in the world is the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
You get the good players, it doesn't matter. I mean, you still got to be sound on.
Right, exactly.
You got to do things that are sound or you're not going to win. But in the meantime, how do you get the players? And that's what we did in Chicago. What did we have that first year, up there, out of a, 30 or 42 man squad, we had something like 34 new players.
New players. That was in 75.
So, I mean, and there again, that year, we were 7-7 or whatever
mm-hmm.
it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, we showed a promised turnaround, but I never, well, you know, philosophy, particularly in those days when I was trying to rebuild all those teams, I had a little philosophy of my own is, why stay pat, you know, talking poker here, why stay pat with a losing hand? Hey, you better try to upgrade. If you got a losing hand, well, so that's the reason every week, you know, that first year there, we had a different lineup, you know, different. Mm-hmm. If anybody come on waivers, we were picking them up,
see if they'll fit in.
So, I mean, and we, you know, I had no intention of doing that forever, but until we finally had a, you know, team that good enough players that we could line up and improve with, no use of sitting back holding a losing hand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, it all goes back. I don't give a heck what the playbook is. If you don't have the horses to carry it out, you're not going to win. You got to have the athletes,
coach. If you were coach,
you got to use your athlete right too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know what? In Chicago, you know, the biggest question I get from, you know, people from Chicago or the players I coached up there, because, well, Walter Payton carrying the ball 55 times in one game, and then there a few years later, you know, we might not run five running plays a game, mm-hmm. with the run and shoot. So it's but later on, having Jim Kelly, he wasn't a running back. Walter Payton was a running back. So
that's right.
Yeah, you know, I've always tried to use the players we had, their strength, and mm-hmm. you know, nobody wants any excuses why you didn't win. So. Trying to use the players and, you know, making the system fit them.
Right. You know, I played under a coach, Jim Owens, out in Washington.
Hey, I did too.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah.
He
was with Brian at A&M.
That's right. You know, coach.
What a great guy.
Wasn't he something else?
He was one of my idols.
Well, you know, he passed away about a year and a half ago, and they got this beautiful statue of him out at Husky Stadium there. I was up for the spring game this last April. And, you know, I took some pictures. You know, you just stare at his, that big bronze figure. He was a big man.
He was a big man.
Big man. And he was my mom. He'd come knocking on, you know, back then there really wasn't any regulation how many times you could, you know, go see a prospect or whatever. But he must have been over to dinner at least 10 times, coach.
Oh, yeah.
And every time he came over, he'd bring some roses for my mother. And then, and my mom would always say, coach, you're staying for dinner, aren't you? You know, so she'd serve up a meal. And as soon as Coach Owens would leave, she'd look at me and go, that's the most handsome man I've ever seen.
Well, that's, you know, back then, of course, you know, Coach Bryant with his winning through the years, and that's the kind of coaches he had.
That's right, yeah.
Well, you know, Jerry Claiborne, you know, ended up with Maryland and the other places. I mean, Coach Bryant cranked out some good, you know, he had some good assistants that turned out to be good head coaches.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, it's the coaching tree, and it's, you know, it's so
look at Jackie Sherrill. Wasn't he part of the A&M coaching tree?
No, he came later. He came after Gene Stallings. He was at A&M, yeah.
Wow.
But not with, he played with Coach. That's the reason they hired him at A&M, because he played under Bryant at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And Stallings was one of the Junction boys, I see.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. You know, Coach, take us back a little bit, because I know that you had a little bout with skin cancer, didn't you?
It's a form of skin cancer. Uh-huh. It's a melanoma.
Melanoma? Well, that's what cost, that was Joe Roth when he passed away.
It's a very dangerous, very fast-acting one, and, you know, fortunately, you know, for me, you know, age, I can't remember everything anymore, but I'd read about a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers,
mm-hmm.
that had passed away, and I was reading about him, and I was out there in Los Angeles at the time, and, you know, I was in the sports page, and reading about him, and it had a mole on his leg that he didn't take care of, and when they finally took care of it, you know, he was a pitcher, and he couldn't come off the mound right. and he was stride, and he'd gone from being a good pitcher to he couldn't get anybody out. And they're trying to figure out why, and his stride was different and all that. They and watching films, they saw that, and why it changed was a mole, or it's growing, was bothering him, and they traced to a mole, and I mean he was dead 6 months later.
Wow.
So and reading about that, the mole on his leg sounded just like the one I had in my arm. So my Phyllis, my wife, read the article, right along with me.
How old were you at the time?
27.
Well, you're right in the middle of your football career.
Yes. And my wife reading that paper over my shoulder and seeing my arm, because as white as I am, and I never could tan or anything. I just white as a sheet. But I had that black dot on my arm. So I mean, she had a had me in to our family doctor that day. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Wow.
Coach, you mentioned you coached Jim Kelly. Wasn't Jim Kelly the quarterback who was with the Bills when the Bills came back and beat you guys in that playoff game and they came back from like 40 points down, or was that the backup, Frank Reich?
34-3, I believe it was, or something.
Kelly was hurt or something, and I forgot, he might have started the game, but that was even the more bizarre thing about that. Kelly was out. He wasn't in the game, and we still couldn't stop him.
Unbelievable. That game I'll never forget because, I had a little action with the boys on Houston that day, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, I'm up 34-3 at halftime, right, Coach? No problem. And I'm getting 3 points.
Wasn't that the game Buddy Ryan got in the offensive coordinator's face, Kevin Gilbert, I believe it was?
Yeah. Yep, that was it.
Wow.
Did you break up that fight, or what happened?
I've forgotten. There's many weird things went on that day. It's been such a nightmare. I've tried to do everything I can to forget it. Everything about it. I mean, and there again, you had to bring it up. All those great things happened. That was the worst thing in the world.
Oh, wow. I remember you, Coach. I only got to play 1 year with you, but you're kind of quiet, reserved. But boy, I tell you, when you spoke, people paid attention, But that was your style, though, wasn't it?
Well, kind of the way I was raised in high school, and Coach Bryant, if he asked him something, you better answer him. But other than that, he didn't have many loudmouths around.
Wow.
That's Coach, could you coach in today's NFL with some of these players the way they act today?
Well, through the years, there's been all kinds of, I've had a lot of players that, when I've taken a job, with the Houston Oilers, when I took that job, that bunch of receivers they had were notorious for being, kind of like some of them now on different teams, but I really never had any problem with it, but, as long as there's rules, they know what's going to be, and I never had, a whole lot of problems. Of course, a lot of it's picking players, guys like Walter Payton. To have a player like that, having a good player that is also a leader and leading in the right way.
Right.
Now, if your best players are renegades, that's when it's hard.
Like Terrell Owens.
Yep.
Yeah.
Something like that. And,
that's
true. They can be so distracting that, it's hard to get everybody else on the same page.
Isn't it amazing, Coach, the amount of money that's being paid out there today, and you take this Washington Redskin,
Haynesworth,
that can't even get in shape after signing a $118 million contract. I mean, and we would die for something like that, but made a different mold.
When the Ram team sold out in Los Angeles for $7 million, they thought it was an unusual deal.
$7 million? Holy cow.
Coach, Coach, if you had to win one game, what quarterback that you coach would you pick to be your quarterback?
Oh, gosh, that is a hard one because I had so many great quarterbacks, you know, Hall of Famers.
Right.
You know, Joe Theismann could do everything. You know, he could run the ball. He's smart. Had a real good arm. And actually, when I went there, he was always he was really been a backup quarterback to Billy Kilmer.
Mm-hmm.
And but Joe coming out of Notre Dame and then out of the Canadian League, Joe was a great athlete.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, a lot of people wanted their quarterbacks to be another inch or two taller. But, you know, if you kind of angle drop or roll out or bootleg, waggle, any of that kind of stuff, putting the ball in Theismann's hands, you're going to be safe.
I mean, right.
He wasn't going to make mistakes with it.
Smart. He had good feet.
Good,
you know,
yeah.
Good speed.
And
yeah.
Careful with the football.
And careful with the ball. Absolutely.
What I never got is the Bears, I think they drafted Vince Evans in, what, 77?
77, my year.
I think you got the wrong quarterback. If you would have had Warren Moon on those Bear teams, I think it would have been a totally different story. Moon and Peyton, you would have, I think, had a lot more competitive team.
Yeah. You're going to have to correct me here now because you're from there and kept up. I think Warren had already signed with Canada, though, hadn't he?
Yeah, Warren actually came out the following year. They won the Rose Bowl with the Huskies the following year.
I mean, he signed early.
He signed with Canada with Edmonton.
Before the draft, there's a reason he wasn't drafted earlier.
Right, exactly.
But there wasn't any doubt. I don't think anybody really doubted Warren's ability, but you know, his availability was
the only
thing on him.
Mm-hmm. with Warren, you know, what a hell of an athlete, good quarterback, Hall of Famer, of course. And, of course, I had the opportunity to play with him 2 years at Washington. But, I was thinking when David asked that question, I think if I had a guy that wanted to win a game, and Jim Kelly kind of pops to my mind, you know, just a tough kid.
Same way.
How
could you pass up Kelly, or how could you pass up Moon? Any of them. I'd take any of them.
Boy, you know, when Jim was a rookie with you in 84 with the Gamblers, and you guys came to our house in Birmingham in the first playoff game, and we thought we had you at fourth and 28 on our six, or on your 4 yard line, and that son of a gun pulled it out. Got the first down. He marched him down. Got you in field goal range with about 3 seconds to go. And it was a Tony Frisch.
Yeah.
Frisch, yeah. He had kind of that beer gut hanging over his belt and his one bar face mask, probably chewing a little tobacco. And he hit the upright. It bounced away. And we win 22-20, Coach. I don't know if you remember that one or not.
Oh, I remember.
Coach, do you watch any of the Bears games now or no?
Well, down here, on TV, we get a whole lot of the Cowboys and Texans.
Of course.
But, saw the Bears the other night.
What do you think is wrong with this team? We're trying to figure it out here in Chicago.
They got no O-line, Coach.
Well, I don't know. That whole deal this year, to me, could be up for grabs. It looks to be like they have, a runner. They have some people that can move the ball. And the Bears, I don't know, defensively it looks like they're going to come to life. And being in with Minnesota and Green Bay and Detroit, after we talked yesterday, I was thinking about that division, and gosh, to me, it'd be hard to pick. I think it's up for grabs. The Bears, I think, have as good a chance as anyone.
I hope so. Of course, we got the Green Bay and the Vikings. I think they're a little bit better than we are. But
They are. But yeah. Their record was last year. But it hadn't been. Oh, I don't know. It, to me, it's an up for grabs division.
Yep. Exactly. Hey, Coach, we're up against the clock, and we really appreciate you coming on, man.
Oh, it's been good talking to you.
Yeah, it's been fun reminiscing a little bit, talking some 77 Bear football, little Jim Owens. Hey, that's great stuff in my book.
Brian,
I don't know what the listening audience is going to think about it, but boy, we sure the hell enjoyed it.
Hey,
all right, Coach, we really appreciate it.
All right.
Hey, hey, good luck. We'll talk to you soon, hopefully. Okay. All right, Coach. All right, that was Jack Pardee. What a great guy, man. Just a super, super guy. My rookie coach, and of course, what a career in the NFL. And as you know, what did he say? 15, 16 years of
playing, and he went coaching.
Wow, unbelievable. Anyway, we want to thank our guest today. Of course, we had Vance Law, and of course, Coach Pardee. Hopefully, we'll get Tommy Lasorda on maybe down the road a little bit, talk some baseball. But David, hey. Good to be back in the studio. And I'm Robin Earl, my partner David Spada. This is the Barely Legal Show, and we'll be back next week, same time.